80 years. Because we had some research out this week, some more research actually, latest, telling us how much we need in retirement, depending on whether we want an essential one, doesn't sound great, comfortable or more luxurious time of it in our latter years. So which, the consumer group, which says that couples would typically need 26 grand and single people 19,000 a year to be comfortable. So comfortable is things like covering essential bills, plus, you know, regular short haul holidays, leisure activities, some alcohol in there and a bit of charitable giving. So this means a private pension pot would have to be around 154,000 pounds between them to hit their retirement target, while an individual would need a pot just over £190,000. Tanya, we get these sorts of researches and studies fairly often. What's the use of them? Because obviously it is so individual, isn't it?
Yes, but I think they are useful in giving people an idea about what they should be heading for, and then they can work out if what they're putting away is going to hit in any way the sort of the pot that's required to turn it into an income like that. So I think it's educational as much as anything, although how much you actually need will be individual. You have to always take into account these things, who is doing it and who was surveyed. When I spoke to Which about this story, I mean, they surveyed their members to get an idea, about 7,000 of them. But obviously, Which members, and they admitted this, and probably more likely to be better off. They're quite savvy. They're certainly curious about their finances, even if they're not more savvy. You need to think about all of that. For me, this survey had two really interesting aspects to it. One, it really shows, you quoted those figures about the kind of pot that you'd need as a single person versus a couple. You'd need a much bigger pot than a couple to get to 19,000, when the couple, you know, with a much smaller pot can get to 26,000. The reason for that is you've got one state pension included in that instead of two, which is about, I think it's about 9,000 a year now. So obviously that's a big part of it, but also you've only got one personal tax-free allowance to play with, so you can see how quickly that would affect it as well. So I think this survey is actually most useful to single people, to tell them, you know, if you not married, not get married, but if you're not going to get married, if you think you're not going to get married, you need to really plan to save a lot more, save a lot harder. It's going to be a lot more difficult for you to achieve a comfortable lifestyle than your married friends. And that is just the way it is. And it's better to know that now, even if you think that's pretty sort of harsh and unfair. You need to plan. And if I, you don't mind me carrying on, the other really interesting thing about this is the difference in the pot that you'd need if you were going to go into do it with drawdown versus buying an annuity. And the difference is really, really stark. The figures that you quoted at the beginning are for drawdown. And they're an awful lot higher if you want to buy an annuity and get a guaranteed income. I mean, people like a guaranteed income in retirement, but all the trends in the last few years since pension freedom show that people are prepared to invest their pension and take the risk of that, because they just feel they'll be paying through the nose for an annuity. And these figures really, really show that. If you want a comfortable retirement and you don't want to absolutely spend a fortune, you've got to be prepared to invest through retirement.
Be honest though, Tanya, you're looking at these figures and thinking they're a little bit low. And the reason I say that is because, one, it only accounts for 20 years of retirement. So, so you're 85. Well, what if you live for longer than that? Hope you will. And also it includes a full state pension, I believe. So if you don't have that, you'd have to do 35 years of work of contributing national insurance contributions for that. Is your instinct this is just a little bit low?
I don't know about that. I think the new state pension that came in 2016 is in a transition phase at the moment, because a lot of people who are contracted out are not getting the full amount. But there's a tipping point. I think it's in 2024 where the people who were contracted out will have had enough years still in the system to knock those out or burn off those years. And they will at that point be qualifying for the full state pension. A lot more people will be on the full whack in terms of state pension.
Helen, I want to ask you, Paul Johnson from the IFS caused a few ripples recently by his article in another newspaper. I'm going to paraphrase this, but I mean, it's a bit more nuanced than probably I'm about to say, but it was about essentially because we do save more in our later years, and we're sort of mean 50, then actually you shouldn't be worrying about it so much when you're younger. You've got almost more things to think about and we should leave the kids alone, maybe. It's caused a bit of a stir. Should we be thinking about retirement only in our 50s in terms of pension savings?
I don't know. I mean, I think you've got to think about it earlier, really. For me, I'm in my early 30s and I'm still saving to buy a house. So for me, that's the hurdle that I need to get over before I really start saving seriously for retirement. But those things are inevitably going to come to a head, you know, as people start buying their first house later and later, getting on the housing ladder in retirement are kind of moving closer and closer. It's something that really you've got to be thinking about both, as tough as that is. I think really it's got to be both now.
Tanya, how far are we off as a nation? I mean, obviously that's quite a difficult question, but you know, generally from all the research, are we on course to hit these sorts of figures? We've got auto enrollment, but I understand that is probably only going to really get as an essential retirement, auto-enrollment plus the state pension. But how far are we off?
Well, I mean, it's 8% of your salary, including employers' contributions and tax relief at the moment under auto-enrollment. And industry experts are always calling for people to be trying to put away 12%. Obviously, that's not entirely you. That is bumped up a lot by your employer and tax relief. But that is a big ask for people. There's a middle generation who aren't going to get the full benefits of auto-enrollment, of being auto-enrolled for their entire working life, but they are not going to be getting much in the way of generous final salary pensions. And they are probably they're probably the worst off in this whole scenario. The people who are starting to save now, the younger people, will probably do okay, especially if they go over the 8%, especially in later life. As far as the Paul Johnson piece goes, the thing is, what you put away when you're young actually works an awful lot harder for you because of compounding, because your investment growth is on all the dividends and the performance you're getting is sort of, it adds up. So a small bit put away in your 20s gets you an awful lot more than it does when you put it away much later. And another thing I'd say about this piece is, and Paul Johnson acknowledges this himself in his piece, which is anything can happen in your 50s. You know, what if you have to give up work to care for somebody who you dearly love, who needs you? This is far more prevalent now after the pandemic and so many people with long COVID. What if you get made redundant and you really can't find another job? But then it's very difficult to save for a time. You just don't know what's going to happen. So it's good that he wrote something that got people talking about it and thinking about it. But for those two reasons, I still think that young people should start saving their pension early. And I think the best way to go about it is just accept the auto-enrollment. Don't look at how much is being taken off your salary. Just put it out of your mind completely. That money is, you know, not doing anything. It's dead to you for the foreseeable future. Just don't even think about it. Don't even look at it. Don't include it in your calculations of how much you've got. Compartmentalize.
Very good advice.